friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Spanish star Rafa Nadal and Swiss tennis ace Roger Federer both advanced Friday at the Australian Open. But defending champion Caroline Wozniacki was eliminated. Craig Gabriel reports from Melbourne on Friday's action, and Craig also looks ahead to some of Saturday's marquee matches.
Rafa Nadal knew he had to assert himself early in the match with Alex de Minaur. The 19-year-old Australian has garnered quite a following at home, and this third-round match had attracted quite a lot of attention. Nadal needed to shut down any electric atmosphere from the crowd that may have helped lift the teenager's spirits. The world number two, who 10 years ago won this title for the only time, beat de Minaur 6-1, 6-2, 6-4.
That's positive news for me. I'm very happy for the victory because at the end of the day, I won 6-1, 6-2, 6-4 against a player that he was winning 7 matches in a row, winning a tournament. He's young. He has that extra energy that the young guys have. And it's always a dangerous match. So very happy with the victory.
It was incredible fun to watch, and Nadal later said that the youngster was one of the fastest players he's ever faced. So Rafa is into the last 16, and there he will play Tomáš Berdych, who beat Diego Schwartzman. While this match had plenty of attention, arguably the highest profile match was Maria Sharapova against Caroline Wozniacki, the defending champion. Not much love was lost between these two, and Sharapova said her eye was on this encounter when the draw was made.
Yeah, it was definitely a match that I look forward to. When the draw came out, obviously I had to get there first, and so did she. But yeah, I thought it was, as usual, as expected, a physical match. Didn't have to be in some ways, but felt like even in the longer rallies, I did a great job of winning those. Put a lot of pressure on her, and those are the rallies that I think many years ago that she used to win. I thought I did a great job of getting a higher percentage of wins in those.
She advanced over the Dane 6-4, 4-6, 6-3, and the handshake at the end was not quite as accepting as one might have expected. Roger Federer disposed of Taylor Fritz.
For the time being, it's all good. The lights are on green. I'm injury-free. I'm enjoying myself. The kids are having a great time too on the tour. My wife's happy, so for the moment there's absolutely no complaints and no plans. So I'm just happy where I am in my life, in my career right now.
Sloane Stephens moved past Petra Martic, and in quite an upset between two young future stars of women's tennis, American Amanda Anisimova beat the 11th seed Arina Sabalenka 6-3, 6-2. Others players advancing including Petra Kvitova, Stefana Tsitsipas, and the young Aussie Ash Barty. A couple of years ago, Denis Shapovalov thrilled Canadian tennis fans when he beat Rafa Nadal in Canada. The teenager believes he belongs among the elite of the sport. The results also show that, which are reflected with his ranking that has allowed him to be seeded 25. The left-hander has another chance against one of the big three because in the third round of the Australian Open he plays world number one Novak Djokovic. They've never squared off before and both have expressed their keenness for this match. The winner will advance to the last 16 and the second week. The highest profile women's match has surprisingly not made it to the Rod Laver Arena, which is the biggest stadium here. World number one Simona Halep and Venus Williams have been allocated to Margaret Court Arena. A fabulous court, but there has been some questions as to why not Rod Laver Arena. The two women have met 5 times and Venus leads 3-2. Serena Williams will play a new name from Ukraine, Diana Yastramska, and there's a Pan-Asia clash with US Open champion Naomi Osaka taking on Shea Su Wei from Chinese Taipei, and Japan's Kei Nishikori takes on Zhao Souza. And fourth seeded Alexander Zverev will take on the tenacious 26-year-old wildcard Alex Bolt. The lefty from South Australia had given tennis away not that long ago and was working in construction when the desire to play again returned. Bolt is now having a highly enjoyable time. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sport, Melbourne.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafoe. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
You might say Francis Tiafoe is also having a highly enjoyable time in Melbourne. To quote Craig Gabriel, the rising young American tennis player Tiafoe will celebrate his 21st birthday on Sunday. I guess you might say Francis got an early birthday present. On Friday, Tiafoe defeated Italy's Andreas Seppi in five sets to reach the round of 16 at the Australian Open. It's the best ever showing by Francis Tiafoe in one of the four major tennis tournaments. We're going to have to bring Francis Tiafoe back to our Voice of America headquarters and ask him straight up, Francis, talk about Down Under at the Australian Open. We're going to bring him back to VOA. You can bet on it. Yeah. Meanwhile, one of the big stories during the first week of the Australian Open was the first round loss by British star Andy Murray. VOA's Jim Stevenson reports.
The Australian Open closed quickly for former world number one Andy Murray of Britain.
Been struggling for a long time. I've been in a lot of pain for what has been probably about 20 months now.
Murray's hip has become so painful that his plans to retire at Wimbledon later this year may be in jeopardy.
I'm not sure I'm able to play through the pain, you know, for another 4 or 5 months.
The 31-year-old Murray fought hard but lost in five sets to Spaniard Roberto Bautista Agut.
You know, if today was my last match, I mean, look, it was a brilliant way, like, to finish as well, and that's something that, you know, I'll probably take into consideration as well, because, you know, it was an amazing atmosphere. You know, I literally gave everything that I had on the court.
Perhaps the best player of all time, Roger Federer, has been impressed with Murray, as have the rest of the players.
All of us, also the players, were extremely happy that he did end up winning Wimbledon and Davis Cup and Olympic gold and all these things, even though Olympic gold went through me, you know, but he had to really fight for it and earn it. Like world number one, he gave it all he had. After Novak's incredible start to the season, he had a sick finish, you know, so there's a lot to admire about Andy, how he went about it.
Murray didn't expect the outpouring of support and well-wishers as he announced his playing career is drawing to a close.
The reaction, I was really surprised. I genuinely was not expecting it to be like that at all. And yeah, it was really nice.
British tennis star Andy Murray speaking in Melbourne, Australia. And thanks to my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson for that report. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines. When I start boxing, I'm inspired to fight because of my family. We're very poor. When I'm in training for the big fight, I train hard. Get up in the morning, 6 o'clock, jogging, 1 hour. After that, rest. I go to the gym, we do training. Sometimes I want more. I train hard. I used to train in karate. Right now, I'm inspired to fight for the honor of my country.
Filipino boxing star Manny Pacquiao will defend his WBA welterweight title Saturday night when he fights American Adrian Broner in Las Vegas, Nevada. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Mueta, says Pac-Man looks to be in great physical condition for the bout.
Sonny, I paid a visit to Wildcard and I looked at him. He's all shredded. He's ready. He's focused. He's talking about pushing for the knockout, Sonny. And when you push for the knockout, you leave yourself wide open. He scored his first knockout in 6 years when he knocked out Lucas Matisse. And if you think you can just go in there and knock out Adrian Broner, you may find yourself on the floor, counted out. So pushing for the knockout would be a bad deal. But he's all excited now. He's ready for the fight. The fans are happy that he's back. So he wants the knockout. He wants to knock Broner out.
For our VOA boxing fans keeping score, Adrian Broner has never been knocked out as a prize fighter. His three losses to Mickey Garcia, Sean Porter, and Marcus Maidana have all come by the unanimous decisions of judges ringside. And speaking ringside, our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Mueta, will be ringside Saturday night for Pacquiao Broner. And Namdi says if Broner shows up, this has the makings of the first great fight of 2019. Now, overall, Adrian Broner has a record of 33 wins, 3 losses, and 1 draw to fellow American Jesse Vargas last year in New York City. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to motorsports, the 41st edition of the Dakar Rally ended Thursday in Lima, Peru. With a look at two of the winners, here's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Hey, sports fans. On Tuesday's show, Sonny mentioned that Qatari driver Nasir Al-Attiyah was poised to win the Dakar Rally. Well, he sealed the deal on Thursday to become a 3-time champion. Al-Attiyah spoke to reporters after flawlessly finishing the world's toughest rally.
You know, it's fantastic. You know, no mistake during all this rally. It was very, very difficult rally for everybody. The good thing, you know, from day three, we are leading and we build our times every day, you know.
And speaking of building times, Al-Attiyah clocked in ahead of the pack with a 46-minute advantage. He and his co-driver Matthew Baumel finished the roughly 3,100-mile race in 34 hours, 38 minutes, and 14 seconds. And just to give you some perspective, the worst finishing time was 523 hours, 26 minutes, and 48 seconds. Al-Attiyah adds his Dakar trophy to the two he previously won in 2011 and 2015. And if that isn't enough, between those years, he managed to clinch a bronze medal in skeet shooting at the 2012 London Olympics. More recently, in 2016, he competed in his 6th Olympic Games in Rio. In the bike category, Australian Toby Price is now a 2-time Dakar Rally winner. The motorcyclist finished his race in 33 hours, 57 minutes, and 16 seconds, despite riding with a broken wrist. After the race, Price said the pain and torture were worth it.
I'm over the moon. I'm so damn stoked, and it's been a long 10 days, and now I just wait and see what damage I've done to the wrist. So we'll, at the end of the day, the pain and the torture's been worth it.
Price became the first Australian ever to win Dakar in 2016, and now, with his second win, he secured a place in the history books as one of the best ever to rev it up on 2 wheels. And that does it for me today and for the week. It's back over to you, Sonny. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. You have a great weekend, too. Why don't you even rev it up, Gwen? Rev it up. I love that motorsports talk. Rev it up. Rev those engines. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of African football news is Samson Omale. And Samson says he'll be kicking off in Kenya. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Kenyan national football team coach Sebastian Migne has asked the Kenyan government for full support while urging fans to accept that the 2019 African Cup of Nations, where Kenya makes a return after 15 years, is a chance for Kenyan footballers to gain top-level experience.
If we want to stay at this level, we need the support of all the stakeholders in Kenya. It's not necessary to think we can win AFCON. It's not true. But we can continue to dream and to try to achieve something, and that means maybe to pass the first stage.
And to South Africa, where the South African Football Association president, Danny Jordan, has again denied allegations leveled against him by former chief executive of the Football Association, Leslie Sidibe. Leslie Sidibe laid criminal charges against Danny Jordan in December last year, claiming he covered up the deficit created by the $10 million bribe paid to secure the rights to host the 2010 FIFA World Cup in South Africa. Danny Jordan has asked the executive committee of SAFA to take action against Sidibe.
The question of what he's raising, I don't know how to comment, because it's just not true. Here are the documents. Not a single penny was paid out of the organizing committee. That is on record. I did not pay a single penny. It's on record.
And to West Africa, where a Ghanaian undercover journalist, Anas Aremayo Anas, has been shot dead in the capital, Accra, while driving home after a politician called for retribution against him. The slain journalist was a member of the Tiger Eye private investigation led by Anas Anas, which had investigated corruption in Ghana's football league. Ghanaian former president John Mahama said it's cruel to target a journalist for doing his professional duties.
For a democracy like Ghana, that has gained a worldwide reputation as the model of democracy in Africa, things like this should not happen. Journalists should not be killed in cold blood because of the work they do.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Listen to VOA's program lineup, live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com. VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if our Voice of America listeners check out my Facebook page today, Friday, they'll see a nice photo of Manny Pacquiao and Adrian Broner facing off as they get ready for their title fight on Saturday night in Las Vegas, Nevada. Once again, our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta, will be ringside for Pacquiao Broner, and we'll get his post-fight comments next week. Also on my Facebook page, none other than my longtime Voice of America colleague, Fritzy DePew. Fritzy used to edit our scripts in the office before retiring. We had a friendly phrase for when our scripts were edited by Fritzy. We would say, we've been Fritzied. Our scripts have been Fritzied. And even though Fritzy has retired, I know in my mind's eye, Fritzy DePew will always, always be on the lookout for misplaced apostrophes and those mucky parenthetical phrases. We want to keep it snappy. My scripts need to be snappy, to the point, you betcha. American Gladys Knight will sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl of American-style football on February 3rd in Atlanta, Georgia. The AP's Margie Zaraletta tells us more.
Gladys Knight says she's proud to use her voice to unite and represent the country in her hometown of Atlanta. She adds that the NFL has recently announced a new social justice program, and she's honored to be part of it in its inaugural year. Knight will sing the anthem before the Super Bowl on February 3rd. Maroon 5, Big Boy of Outkast, and Travis Scott will do the halftime show. I'm Margie Zaraletta.
Thanks, Margie. And who knows? Maybe even a few Super Bowl fans will take that midnight train to Georgia to get to the big game on February 3rd.
He's leaving on that midnight train to Georgia.
Leaving on the midnight train.
Mm. Yeah. Said he's going back to a simpler place.
Gladys Knight with her big hit, Midnight Train to Georgia. Gladys will sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl on February 3rd. And speaking of the Super Bowl, four teams remain in contention for the Super Bowl trophy. And after this coming weekend, we'll know the two teams that have advanced to the Super Bowl in the National Football Conference championship game. The Los Angeles Rams will play the New Orleans Saints on Sunday. And in the American Football Conference game, the New England Patriots will take on the Kansas City Chiefs. The Rams-Saints game will be first, and that will be followed by the Patriots-Chiefs. And the two winners will advance to the Super Bowl on February 3rd. And finally, one quick NBA score from Thursday. The league went across the pond to London, and my beloved Washington Wizards edged the New York Knicks 101-100. One wizard was even heard to say, leaving London, "Cheerio, mates! Cheerio! Go Wizards!" And that wraps up the January 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA reports that its Hubble Space Telescope, with help from a natural phenomenon called gravitational lensing, has helped astronomers discover the brightest object in the early universe. Gravitational lensing is like a natural zoom effect that uses enormous galaxy clusters to magnify distant galaxies behind them. The object, located about 12.8 billion light years away, is a super bright quasi-stellar object, or quasar, that shines with a light equal to 600 trillion suns. Quasars, considered to be the brightest celestial objects in the universe, are generated when supermassive black holes at the center of galaxies devours material so quickly that a buildup of friction and heat produces powerful beams of light. Scientists say the newly discovered quasar was found at the heart of a young galaxy as it was in the process of forming some 1 billion years after the Big Bang. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, some Africans have concerns that Western versions of democracy are being imposed on the continent. Are democratic governments what's best for Africa? We'll discuss the issue on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning in to the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
African Music Mix.
Everyone is looking for something special when maybe they should just listen instead. The VOA's African Music Mix will soothe your nerves and calm your head. Tune in from 0 to 300 UTC and 1100 to 1300 hours UTC to make you feel good. So treat yourself to that something special.
This is VOA.